Monastery Taylor Swift Spear, the Eras Tour.
Yeah, I've already had the whole Secret Lair designed. I've talked about this for ages. I'm ready. Taylor wants to do it. Taylor, if you're out there listening, yeah. I want to work with you. So you let me know. You've got Wildest Dreams.
Jump on that.
You've got Monastery Swift Spear, Swiftfoot Boots. Like I'm just saying, the list goes on. Call me up. You know your buddy Post Malone plays. Yeah. It's time.
Sifter.com.au.
Hi there, this is Roy from Sifter here. The Sifter team was in Melbourne recently for PAX Australia, and we had an opportunity to speak with Gavin Verhey. He's the principal designer of Magic the Gathering at Wizards of the Coast. He's also the lead designer on the wildly popular Final Fantasy set. So we had a chance to ask him about the notorious Vivi card. We also pitched quite a few wild crossover ideas to him, just to see what his appetite would be. So if you're a fan of Magic the Gathering or Final Fantasy, you won't want to miss this episode of Lightmap.
Hi, I'm Fiona Bartholomaeus.
And I'm Naomi Jackson.
And here are the top stories this week on Walkthrough, Sifter's weekly news podcast for Sunday, 2nd of November.
Animal Crossing New Horizons is getting a Switch 2 edition and a massive update in January.
Crash Bandicoot might be getting an animated Netflix series next.
PUBG and Subnautica publisher Krafton is going all in on AI, just as the Doom community fractures over it.
And apparently the Wachowski sisters asked Hideo Kojima to make a Matrix game in the 90s, but it didn't happen.
You can get every episode of Walkthrough for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or on our website, sifter.com.au, every Sunday.
Join the Sifter community on Discord at sifter.com.au/Discord.
This is Roy from Sifter. We're here at PAX Australia. We're talking to Gavin Verhey, the principal designer of Magic the Gathering. We're going to ask him a bunch of questions as quick as we can. We've only got 15 minutes. Let's go.
I love good rapid fire, so let's do it.
Yeah. How not sorry are you about the design of Vivi, especially now that you feel a little bit vindicated that, there's been some tournament results, and while it might be a problematic card and may still need to be banned, it is beatable, especially by
my favorite deck, Mono Red.
One of my favorite things is finding a really good package for a character that makes people really excited. And so when I made Vivi, it was awesome when we did the initial previews. Everyone was super excited about the card. And I think it is very fun to play with, which is great. Unfortunately, I think it is a little bit too strong. And I wish in retrospect I'd made it a little bit weaker. We talked a lot about the details on this card and if it should tap or when the trigger should happen to make the mana. And maybe we ended up at the strongest possible version and probably could have gone a little bit further down. But, it is really exciting and a card that a lot of players love, commander decks and so on. So I would change it if I could, but, I'm glad people enjoy the card a lot as is. And Final Fantasy IX is my favorite game, so hey, at least it's a banger from that one.
Is that also your favorite character in Final Fantasy?
In all of Final Fantasy, it's definitely one of my favorite characters for sure. I mean, he's a cool black mage with a fun story. He's kind of the heart of the story of Final Fantasy IX, and I really like that character. I will say Six is one of my other favorites, and I love Terra and her story as well.
Cool. So on the point of bannings, or obviously you're not going to tell us, or you probably don't know yet, or maybe you do, but I'm sure you've heard of Canadian Highlander and points-based systems. What do you think of that? We have our own here in Australia called 7-Point Highlander. A lot of people ask this, and they're kind of, there's a lot of pain when cards get banned. Is this a concept that could ever come to Commander?
Yeah, so point systems have a lot of interesting stuff around them. We've looked at them a ton. I think they can work very well for granular, one-on-one formats, Canadian Highlander, 7-Point, where it's very clear what cards should be pointed, how strong they are, what your objective of the game is, trying to smash your opponent and destroy them. And also for an audience who's very invested, right? Points are very easy to wrap your head around if you're a very invested player and are willing to look through the list and dig through things. With Commander, we investigated points lists for Commander, but there's a lot of challenges. First of all is the idea that, different people want to play at different kind of levels of play, and different cards are very strong at very, very different levels. Some cards are only strong at the higher levels or lower levels and so on. Second of all, the number of cards we need to be pointed is astronomical, and trying to point all the cards you need in your 100-card deck is starts to become a math project. And so we investigated it, but ultimately it was just, it was not going to work out. Plus, a lot of commanders are very synergy-focused, and so, okay, well, we can hit we can put some other enticing heuristic study on there, but how many points do they have? What is the granularity level? It's so hard to get that right and get that into a satisfying place. So what we ended up doing with the Game Changers list and brackets is a little more like, hey, it's a little more vibes-based, but you get to have those discussions with your table, which is ultimately the best way to, I think, kind of regulate this. Because, you know, some people want to play with those cards, and some people want to play decks where, you know, these cards are accentuated. So it kind of lets them have those discussions at the table and do that. Where points is just, like, very rigid. You're not going to get the values right. You're going to have to point a ton of cards, right? If you imagine, if we'd taken all the cards on the Game Changer list, which is like 60-odd cards right now, and all of them had points, we had to figure out what the number of points for is, how many of them each of them should have, what all the combinatorics are. It gets very complicated very fast. And our number one rule is, if doing this feels like homework, people aren't going to do it. And so we have to try and avoid making it being too homeworky.
All right, that's fair. Have you heard of 7-Point Highlander, the Australian format? Have you ever played it?
Not only have I heard of it, I've played it substantially, yeah. In my previous visit to Australia, I've always ended up somewhere, one way or another, in a 7-Point room. And I think it's quite fun. I really like it. I've played a lot of Canadian Highlander. Of course, I live closer to Canada. And also Australian Highlander. I love one-on-one Highlander formats. I've always really enjoyed the variants it offers, so this is great for me.
Cool, awesome. Now, we've heard before about the concept of like top-down and bottom-up sets. Now that there's so many UB sets, Universes Beyond, I assume most of them are like top-down? Is that the case? And how challenging is it to deal with different IPs as you have to, you know, always build from the top-down and try to find mechanics that can work for that?
Yeah, Universes Beyond is super top-down. If you don't know the terminology, bottom-up means you start with the mechanics first, top-down means you start with the flavor first. And Universes Beyond, we super start with the flavor first because the goal is to make it feel authentic and to really have it ooze flavor. So actually, before we even make a single Magic card for the set, the first thing we do is we go through and we look at all the concepts and characters we're going to want and put all those in and start commissioning art for them, right? So like, for Final Fantasy, it's like, well, we know we're new Sephiroth and Cloud and Terra and Vivian, and go down the list. And you look at all the story moments you want, you put all those in. And so before even a single card is designed, you already have 150, 200 cards you know you're going to make. And then you start designing cards of those concepts. The commons might get filled out with some random stuff or whatever, but it's very, very, very deeply top-down. A lot of Magic sets these days are that too, right? A lot of them start as like, hey, we want to do Victorian horror, or we want to do, you know, whatever, the Greek myth. Let's design based on that. So we actually do a lot of that in Magic 2 anymore, but UB is supercharged that.
Yeah. You're working with these partners to make Universes Beyond. Do they trust you with the mechanics, you're wizards, you're the best at it, but do they have a lot of concerns that you might make like one of their favorite stars, like unplayable, get labeled like that? Do they have like briefs to you saying like, you know, this character must be the best card, must be pushed?
No, yeah, they don't get to control the game design part of it at all. So we get to choose what the power level of the cards are, what they do, all that kind of stuff. We always welcome feedback, so if we show them the cards and they're like, hey, if they play Magic, hey, here's our thoughts on them, we're happy to look at them. Final Fantasy is a good example where I showed all the cards to the team, we went over and played with them, and they sent me a ton of feedback, and I took some of their notes in, took some of them, didn't take some of them, but ultimately, everyone trusts game design is our domain, and we're going to do a good job. Now, of course, we want the most popular characters to often be, you know, mythic rares and things like that, because we want them to be these really splashy cards players can go and own. For the most part, there are some exceptions. But that's not imposed on us by them at all. We get to choose what we do. The flavor is a little bit different, right? With the flavor, we write all the flavor, grab the quotes we need for flavor text or so on, and then we run it all by them, right? And they can ask for tweaks or veto it or whatever, because they're ultimately the masters of the flavor. But we are the people that keep the rules, text, and abilities. So no one is telling us, hey, you got to make Sephiroth busted or whatever. We're just like, they just trust us to do it.
That is great to know. So I also heard that you're an English literature major. Is that the case?
Yeah, creative writing. Yeah. Poetry.
Poetry, okay. Well, so now that UB has kind of cracked open this concept that standard can include all sorts of things in a kind of, not in a coherent narrative kind of sense, in the sense that, you know, Spider-Man is hanging around with Chandra and that kind of thing. Have you ever considered tapping the public domain for literature? And if so, is there anything particular that you would pick? You know, there's obviously Alice in Wonderland, Wizards of Oz,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we've talked about it as an option. You know, it's like there's a lot of good stuff there. You know, Sherlock Holmes, a lot of that is public domain. Frankenstein is a book I read 5 times in college, so I know it front to back. Maybe someday we could get there. You know, we saw that a little bit already, right? With in Innistrad Midnight Hunt or Crimson Vow, we did the Dracula tie-in, right? So certainly not impossible. I could imagine doing that someday. I don't know that we want to do like public domain world. You know, that's his own thing. But I could imagine someday we tap into that, especially for like a secret lair. I don't know that any of these would hold the whole set on their own, but a secret lair like this could be totally possible. But who knows what the future holds? I think it's, you know, these things are so iconic. It's always on the table.
Awesome. So, you know, yesterday we saw you did the designer card panel, which was amazing. You had a whole crowd just designing a magic card, and we built a lot of stuff that's very Australia themed. Now, a lot of Australian magic fans think this a lot. Will Australia ever get, will there ever be a set that's inspired by maybe Indigenous culture in Australia? Or, you know, there's the concept of the Rainbow Serpent, the Dreamtime, or is Australia just too silly and the best we could possibly hope for is maybe a silver bordered set?
No, so my theory of magic, like my goal is to make magic last as long as possible, make it last forever. I want magic to be still going when I'm dead, right? And to do that, you have to go through a lot of themes and keep a lot of different set options available. So I really feel like when it comes to Australia and pieces of it, it's only a matter of time until you see a set that have a lot of pieces of Australian culture. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up like sort of a hybridization of a couple different things, right? In the same way that Ixalan hybridized a few different things. But I think there's absolutely great pieces of the culture here that could turn into really, really authentic things in magic. I also think that there's a lot of work to be done with the, you know, the Aboriginal communities here and things like that. Maybe some secret lairs featuring their artwork, something like that could happen if it's for like a charitable cause, right? So there's some options like that that could be the case. I don't control any of that, but if someone says, hey, you're going to make a set partially inspired by pieces of Australia, hey, I've been here, sign me up, you know, I'm ready. There's a lot of, well, the thing that I'll say, there's so many cool animals and wildlife here too that we've never really seen on a lot of magic cards, right? Your kangaroos, your bin chickens, you know, everything. Yep. There's a lot of fun stuff we could do, and so
drop pairs.
Maybe someday. Yeah. Yeah, drop pairs, right, of course.
Awesome. All right, just to wrap up, we're just going to ask you some rapid fire questions about universes, potential universes beyond set. Sifter team's come up with a bunch of them, and you just tell us on a scale of 1 to 10 how keen you would be to work on these. Okay. 1 is like, give it to Mark Rosewater, and 10's like, you really want to do this.
This is my personal opinion.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So right. We'll start off with Bluey.
Bluey? Universes beyond Bluey.
Yeah, Bluey, I think we make more of a secret lair than a mainline set. I love Bluey. It's super great. But I'll leave that to the people who have kids, so because I feel like they probably are a little more invested than I am.
I'll say.
So I don't know. What, is it 1 through 10, you said?
1 to 10.
I'll give it like a 3.
A 3.
Yeah.
Okay, so I assume Bluey. The same would be for Sesame Street, Elmo's Revenge.
I mean, once again, you leave that for the ones with kids. I feel like they're more well-versed than I am, but I do love Sesame Street. So.
Yeah, fair. All right, so let's move on to some more, maybe some adult ones. Ridley Scott's 1979 Alien.
One of the greatest films of all time.
Oh, thank you.
I would love to somehow adapt some pieces of that to magic. You know, I've worked on some other sci-fi IPs, so it'd be great. Once again, I don't need the whole set. I don't need the whole set in there, but doing a handful of cards in a secret lair, that would be a banger. I got so many fun ideas.
1 to 10 on that.
Oh, I would love to work on maybe like a 7, right? I've watched that film a number of times.
Awesome. So what about Mad Max, a very Australian film?
Yeah, Mad Max would be rad. There's a lot we could do there. Very, very Ether Drift vibes, you know? I don't know. Once again, I don't think the whole set, but maybe like 6 for me. I haven't actually seen all of them. I've just seen Fury Road 100 times, though.
So. That's the best one. Okay, so Good Games Morley Cinematic Universe.
Oh, yeah, that's 10 out of 10. I'm a lore expert. Plus, I get to make a Gavin card, so really that's going to be the best.
Awesome, and you've also got the Establishing Shot card that can go in there. All right, Monastery Taylor Swift Spear, the Eras Tour.
Yeah, I've already had the whole secret lair designed. I've talked about this for ages. I'm ready. If Taylor wants to do it. Taylor, if you're out there listening, I want to work with you, so you let me know. You've got Wildest Dreams.
Jump on that.
You've got Monastery Swift Spear, Swiftfoot Boots. Like I'm just saying, the list goes on. Call me up. You know your buddy Post Malone plays. Yeah. It's time.
Confirmed. Gavin Verhey's Swifty. All right. Charlie XCX, Brat, Egda Summer, all border.
Just imagine, this is like a bunch of very funny secret lair drop where like all the cards have like very simple, are just text for art or something. They're all green cards. That's very funny. Yeah. I don't know. I listen to her music, but it's probably not my project. I'll leave that to someone else. Give that a 4.
Awesome. Thank you very much for that. This is the last question. We talk a lot about magic, but like you're obviously a gamer. You love Final Fantasy, play video games, I assume. Anything you're playing at the moment and anything you're looking forward to that's coming out?
Well, that's a great question. I play a lot, honestly, to be totally truthful. I know it's going to sound like a total just party line, but I just do play a lot of Magic. I play a lot of Magic Arena, I play a lot of Magic with friends. I'll go work on Magic all day and come home and play Magic. So that's very much what's in my wheelhouse. I will say that I really enjoyed Expedition 33 this year and Blueprints, two real banger games. So,
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for talking to us. We really appreciate anyone from Wizards of the Coast coming down to see us in Australia. It's a long journey, and I think I can speak for everyone at PAX that loves magic, that everyone liked that. It was great. So thank you very much.
I'll come down as many times as you'll have me, so hopefully, see you next year.
This is me telling only your right ear to change.
check out sifter.com.au.
This is me telling your left ear to check out sifter.com.au.
Thanks for listening to Lightmap. If you want to check out more gaming content, whether it's digital or tabletop, go check out sifter.com.au.
Ever wanted to hang out with a bunch of Sanrio characters like Hello Kitty, Kuromi, and Cinema Roll? Well, you can with Hello Kitty Island Adventure, available on Apple Arcade. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. This offer is for new subscribers only. $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.